الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class we have began reading the chapter فضل طالب العلم, the virtue of seeking knowledge. We had read the chapter and we had discussed some benefits with regards to the first portion of that chapter. And we have seen that the author Rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned a great encouragement to strive to seek knowledge and a great virtue for those who are truthful and sincere, and a great virtue for those who are truthful and sincere in seeking knowledge. Man sadaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilma sahhalallahu lahu bihi tariqan ila al-jannah. That whoever sets out on a path seeking knowledge therein, then Allah will make easy for him by way of that a path to paradise. Then Allah will make easy for him by way of that a path to paradise. In the Mudhakkara that we have in front of our hands, it was on page number 8 at the beginning of that chapter. But we read that chapter in the previous class and discussed some of those benefits. And we mentioned likewise, barakallahu fikum, in this class today, that would discuss some of the benefits mentioned about that narration, mentioned in the explanation of that narration by Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali rahimahullah ta'ala in his explanation of the 40 hadith, because that hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu was from those 40 hadith. Who remembers which number it was? 36, ahsant. And the topic of that narration was? The main topic and subject matter of the narration is al-jaza'u min jins al-amal, that the recompense is according to the action. The one who does good, he has a good recompense accordingly, according to his deed. And the one who does evil, likewise, he has a recompense similar and according to his action and his deed, according to his action and his deed. So this evening we're reading from Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam, which is the explanation of Ibn Rajib rahimahullah ta'ala of the 40 hadith. And we're reading from the 36th narration. But this portion that we're discussing is in the middle of the narration. So we suffice with the explanation of the portion that concerns us in this particular class. So Ibn Rajib rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this affair. قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. The statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he mentioned that whoever sets out on the path seeking knowledge therein, then Allah will make easy for him, facilitate for him, by way of that, a path to paradise. He mentioned رحمه الله تعالى وقد روى هذا المعنى أيضا أبو الدرداء عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the meaning of this portion of the narration likewise has been narrated by Abu Darda as well, رضي الله عنه, in another well-known narration. In another well-known narration, in that narration also, there are a number of topics and issues discussed in this sentence here that is found, is from those issues that are discussed in the hadith of Abi Darda. And the narration is the narration of the Warathatul Anbiya, that the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets. And inshallah, we will discuss that narration. And the author, he mentioned portions of this narration in the original text, and that which is summarized is a mention of the indication of those narrations. So in any case, he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala wa suluk al-tariqi bil-timasi al-ilmi yadkhulu fihi suluk al-tariq al-haqiqi wa huwa al-mashy bil-aqdam ila majalis al-ulama wa yadkhulu fihi suluk al-turuq al-ma'nawiyyah al-mu'addiyah ila husul al-ilm mithlu hifdhihi wa dirasatihi wa mudhakaratihi wa mutala'atihi wa kitabatihi wa tafahumi lahu wa nahwi dhalika min al-turuq al-ma'nawiyyah التي يتوصل بها إلى العلم. So what is intended here from traversing on a path to seek knowledge? What is included in this is traversing on a tangible path, meaning setting out on one's foot to go sit in the gatherings of the scholars. Setting out on one's foot to go sit in the gatherings of the scholars. And this is the tangible path, the physical path. Anyone understand the narration? من سلك طريقاً, whoever sets out on a path, يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا, seeking knowledge in that path. Whoever sets out on a path to seek knowledge therein, سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ tariqan ila jannah, that Allah will facilitate and make easy for him by way of that a path to paradise. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he says what is included in this understanding is setting out on the physical path. On the physical path, meaning walking to the gatherings of the people of knowledge. Walking, taking a path to the gatherings of the people of knowledge. So this is very important to remember that the steps taken to the likes of these gatherings and to the gatherings that are greater than this, they are steps that are taken in the path of Allah. And taking those steps for the one who is sincere will be a means to have that knowledge that he's going to listen to and learn facilitated for him and made easy for him to benefit. And likewise, thus being a means for him to apply that in a manner pleasing to Allah and reaching the pleasure and the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something we should remind ourselves. Barakallahu fikum, when we leave out to the masjid for the likes of these classes, to pray the prayer, no doubt, to establish the obligatory prayer in the congregation with the men, and put our foot next to the foot of our brother for the sake of Allah, and establish that great sacred art of Islam, Iqam al-Salah. But along with that, likewise, to have the intention to sit in the masjid, and to listen to the knowledge, and to strive to benefit, to leave the home, to go to the masjid with the intention of seeking knowledge, establishing the obligatory prayer, and likewise to seek knowledge and to benefit. And likewise to seek knowledge and to benefit and to be included in this intention here. And likewise this virtue and this great reward. This virtue and great reward. He said, and also included in this are the spiritual or the non-tangible understanding as well. Setting out on the path, the spiritual paths, or the paths that are non-tangible, intangible, meaning the affairs that are included here, like memorizing the knowledge, studying the knowledge, reviewing the knowledge, going over the knowledge, and writing the knowledge, and striving to understand and comprehend the knowledge and the likes like this. All of this as well is considered setting out on a path to seek knowledge. And the one who is reviewing the knowledge, maybe he already sat on the path, and maybe he already sat with the people of knowledge, maybe he already sat in the class and benefited, and then he took notes. Then after that, whenever he is at home or whenever the class is over, he's on the side, he will review that. He will go over that and he will verify that, and maybe he will research that, and maybe he will check and add more details to that and the likes like this, and then he will memorize the knowledge that is discussed and studied, and then likewise do some more research and review. And then after some time, whenever the student, he has sat in a number of gatherings and he has moved and traversed through the path of seeking knowledge, he will gather with him foundations and fundamentals, and he will be able at this time to benefit from the works of the scholars and the books of hadith and the explanations of hadith, the books of tafsir, and the books of hadith and explanations of hadith, and the books of the people of knowledge, and he will be able to research on his own. And all of this is considered setting out on a path to seek knowledge, even if he's sitting in the luxury of his own home. Even if he's sitting in the luxury of his own home, he's on a path seeking knowledge by reviewing and researching and writing and writing and going over issues and verifying and checking and identifying and memorizing and then striving to understand and to reflect and to comprehend and having discussions with some other students and the likes like that, asking questions to verify likewise and to further understand in more detail. So on and so forth. All of this is from the paths of seeking knowledge. And the one who sets out on these paths sincerely, he has this promise that Allah will facilitate for him and make easy for him a path to paradise. So he says here, rahimahullah, وَقَوْلُهُ سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And the statement of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah will make easy for him a path to paradise, that Allah will make easy for him by way of that a path to paradise, he says, قَدْ يُرَادُ بِذَلِكَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُسَهِّلُ لَهُ الْعِلْمَ الَّذِي طَلَبَهُ. What could be intended from this is that Allah will facilitate for him and make easy the knowledge that he's seeking. That Allah will facilitate for him and make easy the knowledge that he's seeking. وَسَلَكَ طَرِيقَهُ وَسَلَكَ طَرِيقَهُ وَيُسِّرُ عَلَيْهِ. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate for him and make easy the knowledge that he's seeking and the path that he set out on. Allah will facilitate that for him and make it easy and not difficult. فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ طَرِيقٌ مُوسِيرٌ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Because knowledge is the pathway that leads to paradise. Knowledge is the pathway and the means that leads to paradise. No one will enter paradise except with the proper creed and belief and the proper application of that creed and belief and establishing those obligations and rights that are pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal and avoiding the prohibitions and staying away from that which is forbidden, fearing the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This requires knowledge. This requires knowledge, and this is the path to paradise. This is the path to paradise. So knowledge is the path to paradise. No one will enter paradise without knowing Allah and knowing his tawheed. No one will enter paradise without knowing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and knowing his sunnah and laws and legal ways. No one will enter paradise without knowing the halal and the haram and how to implement that properly in his life and striving to do that. It will not happen. It will not happen. Rather, those who do not have knowledge of these affairs, they are the true losers. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْأَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. So therefore, seeking knowledge is the means that will lead a person to paradise. Whenever one, he seeks it truthfully, and he learns it and carries it properly, and he implements it in his life, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla sincerely. Sincerely. He says, وَهَذَا كَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى لَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. And this is similar to the statement of Allah the Most High whenever he mentioned that indeed we have made the Qur'an easy to remember. So is there anyone who will strive to understand? That indeed we have facilitated the Qur'an and made it easy to remember. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. So there is there anyone who will strive to reflect and ponder and understand? He says, Rahimahullah, قَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلَفِ. Some of the Salaf, they mentioned about this noble verse. هَلْ مِنْ طَالِبِ عِلْمٍ فَيُعَانُوا عَلَيْهِ. Is there any student of knowledge so that he can be helped and facilitated, so that he can be helped and his affairs could be made facilitated? And this is the meaning, that the Qur'an has been made easy. So the one who is sincere and trying to learn it, and he's truthful in that, and he strives, then Allah will aid him and help him. Then Allah would aid him and help him. And that's the meaning of سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. That Allah will facilitate and make easy for him the path to paradise. Meaning Allah will help him. Allah will aid him. Allah will facilitate for him. Allah will pave the ways for him and make it easy for him to be in the right positions and in the right places and to meet the right people at the right times. And save him from the obstacles and the things that would deter him from that. He will facilitate the doors and the avenues of goodness for him until he learns the benefits and becomes firm in his deen. Becomes firm in his deen. And all of the distractions and deterrence and the things that lead away from that, Allah will protect him from that. فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. And this time he'll be from those who are chosen by Allah Azza wa Jalla, those who are sincere. Those who are chosen by Allah Azza wa Jalla, those who are sincere. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his grace and his mercy to make us min al-mukhlaseen. From those who has chosen and he has granted them ikhlas. From those whom he has chosen and he has granted them at ikhlas. So he says, Rahimahullah, وَقَدْ يُرَادُ أَيْضًا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُيَسِّرُ لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ إِذَا قَصَدَ بِطَالِبِهِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ الْإِنْتِفَاعِ بِهِ وَالْعَمَلِ بِمُقْتَضَاهُ فَيَكُونُ سَبَبًا لِهِدَايَتِهِ وَلِدُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ بِذَلِكَ فَيَكُونُ سَبَبًا لِهِدَايَتِهِ وَلِدُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ بِذَلِكَ. Also, it could be intended from this narration is that Allah will facilitate for the student of knowledge if he intends by way of seeking knowledge the face of Allah to benefit himself and to apply it and to work by that which it requires and necessitates. Then it will be a means for his guidance and for him to be admitted into paradise. For him to be admitted into paradise. Meaning that Allah will facilitate for him, for the student of knowledge, when? If he intends by way of his knowledge the face of Allah and to benefit by that knowledge. And to benefit from that knowledge and to apply it in the manner that it requires. And to apply it in the manner that it requires. This is his intention. This is his intention. And the one who has this intention, he intends to set out and to seek this knowledge with the intention of doing it sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah, hoping to benefit from the knowledge and to implement what that knowledge requires and necessitates in this manner. This will be a means for his guidance. In this manner, it will be a means for his guidance, for that knowledge to sink into his heart and for him to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. He will learn the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know then Allah Azza wa Jal, he has a life that is perfect, no deficiency whatsoever. And he hears and he sees all things and nothing is hidden from him. So therefore, he will fear Allah Azza wa Jal. He will fear Allah Azza wa Jal based upon that knowledge because he intended to seek that knowledge to learn. And now whenever he learns, he knows and now he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the seen and in the unseen. And he will use his eyes and his hands to the best of his ability, striving against the soul to use those favors and blessings in the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla and that which is lawful. And he will avoid that which is haram and impermissible. And he will strive in that path because now he has light and he has knowledge. So it will be a benefit for him. It will be a benefit for him. He has the intention like this. He believes in Allah and he's seeking knowledge for the sake of Allah. And he hopes to benefit from the knowledge. And he hopes to benefit from the knowledge and to implement that which that knowledge requires and necessitates. that which that knowledge requires and necessitates. The knowledge of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad al-Rasulullah, and these statements here have great meanings, the best and most beneficial of all meanings. And likewise, they have requirements. They have requirements and creed and belief and actions and statements and deeds that these two statements here require and necessitate for a person to establish in his life. For a person to establish in his life. So the one who seeks out in this manner, sincerely and truthful with Allah and seeking knowledge, hoping to benefit and to apply that which he learns, فَيُكُنُ سَبَبًا لِهِدَايَتِهِ وَلِدُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ بِذَلِكَ. It will be a means for him to be guided and thus to enter into paradise in this manner. He says, وَقَدْ يُيَسِّرُ اللَّهُ لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ وَقَدْ يُيَسِّرُ اللَّهُ لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ عُلُومًا أُخَرَ يَنْتَفِعُ بِهَا فَتُكُونُ مُوصِلَةً لَهُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And also possibly understood from this is that Allah may facilitate for the student of knowledge other sciences and other knowledges that he will benefit from, that will likewise be a means for him to enter paradise. And he will set out on a path to seek knowledge, meaning he will set out on a path to seek knowledge, and then he will benefit in this manner, and then Allah will guide him and facilitate for him to learn more knowledge. To learn more knowledge, the one who sets out on the path to seek knowledge, the first things he will learn is the importance of the intention, and that it must be for the sake of Allah. So maybe in the beginning he is just seeking knowledge because he likes knowledge, or because the people are encouraging him to come, or he has other motives and the likes like this. Maybe his intention is not entirely pure. Then whenever he begins to seek knowledge, he will learn about the obligation of purifying the intention, especially in seeking knowledge. He will learn about the obligation of purifying the intention, especially in seeking knowledge. So this knowledge here will guide him to be sincere and to fulfill the rights of Tawheed. And to fulfill the rights of Tawheed, and to make his love and his devotion and his intention entirely for the sake of Allah, and to have fear and hope and trust and reliance in Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from knowledge. And now this is a means of guidance for him, and thus a reason for him to enter paradise from the proper creed and belief and understanding of the deen that is coupled with application. Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi deen. This is the means of this affair. This is the means of this affair. Seeking knowledge is of utmost importance. كما قيل من عمل بمعالم أورثه الله علم ما لم يعلم. As has been mentioned, yani from the previous scholars of the noble generations, that they would say that whoever applies the knowledge that he knows, then Allah will bring about for him, meaning Allah will guide him and make easy for him to learn that which he did not know. The one who implements the knowledge that he knows, this will be a means for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to facilitate for him to gain more knowledge, and to increase. And to learn the knowledge he did not obtain yet. كما قيل ثواب الحسنة الحسنة بعدها. Also, like what has been mentioned from the people of knowledge, that the recompense, the reward of a good deed is a good deed after that. The reward of a good deed is a good deed after that. ثواب الحسنة الحسنة بعدها. And likewise, the people of knowledge, they say الحسنة تجر أختها. الْحَسَنَةُ تَجُرُّ أُخْتَهَا. That the good deed, it brings along with that her sister. And another good deed. So the one who has this beautiful intention, and he sets out making this effort to seek knowledge, this is a righteous and good deed from the best of them. So therefore, this is a means for him to obtain more good deeds, to open up a gateway and avenues for him of goodness and khayrat. And in that path, maybe he will meet other individuals who are stronger than him. And they will guide him to other individuals who will help him. Maybe more students who are like him that would encourage him and accompany him in the path of seeking knowledge. Others that will remind him, or those that he will review with, or take him to a new teacher and the likes like this, and he will benefit or travel with him to seek knowledge or facilitate for him other avenues of goodness because he had this good intention. So along with that will come more good for him. Sahalallahu lahu bihi. Tariqan ila jannah, and that good that comes about from that can be likewise from those means that will lead him to paradise by the grace and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he says, وَقَدْ دَلَّ عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And that which is a proof or evidence for this is the statement of Allah the Most High, وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدًى. Allah will increase in guidance those who follow right guidance. Any of those who are following the right guidance, meaning they have the correct belief and faith, and they comply to that, implement it in their life, and they're seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah would increase them in guidance, make them firm upon the guidance that they have, and grant them more light and details to the knowledge and the realities that they have learned thus far. And it will be a means for them to increase and to be stronger, to increase and to be stronger, and to benefit and to be more beneficial, and to benefit and to be more beneficial. وَقَوْلُهُ And the statement of Allah the Most High, likewise, وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدًا وَأَتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ And those who follow the right guidance, then Allah would increase them in guidance, and He will grant them their piety. And He will grant them their piety. So from the means of obtaining the guidance is to seek it. And then after that, to implement it and to apply it. And the one who does that truthfully, then Allah Azza wa Jal, from his beautiful names and attributes, Al-Ghafoor Al-Shakoor. He is the all-forgiving and He is the most thankful. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning He forgives much sin, transgression and shortcomings, and He accepts the littlest of good and shows appreciation for that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who is sincere on that path of learning and implementing that knowledge, then ash-shukur, subhanahu wa ta'ala, will make him firm and grant him steadfastness and increase him in faith. And an increase in faith is along with an increase in knowledge. Barakallahu fikum. He says, وَقَدْ يَدْخُلُ فِي ذَلِكَ أَيْضًا تَسْهِيرُ طَرِيقِ الْجَنَّةِ الْحِسِّي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَهُوَ السِّرَاطُ وَمَا قَبَلَهُ وَمَا بَعْدَهُ مِنَ الْأَهْوَالِ فَيُيَسِّرُ ذَلِكَ عَلَى طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ لِلْإِنْتِفَاعِ بِهِ He says, and also could be included in this that the path to paradise, the actual physical path to paradise will be made easy for him on the day of resurrection. And that is as-sirat, crossing the sirat. And that which happens before that, and likewise that which happens after that, from the terrifying of events of the day of resurrection and the day of judgment and accountability. So this is also understood from here, that path in the hereafter, and after the people are resurrected, there are great trials and calamities, and there are great terrors and frights that the people, all of mankind, they will face. All of mankind they will face, facing the reckoning for their deeds. And then likewise after that, the records of their deeds are going to be scattered, and some will grab them in their right hands and be happy and pleased and be safe and honored, and others will grab it in their left hand, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ and be in great grief and sorrow and worry and in great and great loss and failure. What do you have to be learned? So there, and this, the scales will be established. And in the day, on the day of resurrection, likewise, the hold of the prophet. So many events that would occur on that day. And from the sirat will be established over the back of the hellfire, over the top of the hellfire, and the people, they will have to pass in order to reach paradise. And then after that, there's the kantara. After they pass the sirat, now there's the kantara, they have to pass again, and then they will stop in front of the gates of paradise. And the rights of the believers, those who will be admitted into paradise, they will be given back, and all hard feelings will be removed, and there will be tight situations. People will be facing tight situations on the day of judgment all the way until they enter paradise. All the way until they enter paradise, the situations will be tight. The rights are heavy and not light with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that by seeking knowledge in this manner, with this pure intention, being sincere and truthful on that path of learning, to seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to know, in order to apply it, to draw near to Allah and be safe from His anger and safe from these trials, then this likewise in the hereafter will be facilitated for him, will be made easy for him, and he will be able to face those hardships and difficulties with ease, and Allah will guide him. Yahdihim Rabbuhum بِإِمَانِهِمْ Their Lord guides them by way of their faith in this life and in the hereafter, all the way until they reach their places in paradise. يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِمَانِهِمْ Their Lord guides them by way of their faith. The foundation and fundamental of faith is knowledge. Is knowledge, to know the faith, and then believe in the faith and follow and apply the faith. So the base of that is that ilm al-nafi. Is that ilm? And nafi, barakallahu fikum, barakallahu fikum. So he says, rahimahullah, فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ يَدُولُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ أَقْرَبِ الطُّرُقِ إِلَيْهِ Because knowledge, it will lead a person to Allah from the closest pathways. And the fastest pathway to Allah is by way of knowledge. Those people who eventually they reach Allah Azza wa Jal, eventually they reach the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal in the paradise. But before that, They go through tragedies and trials and stepping stones and roadblocks, and they go through difficulties and hardships. This is because of a lack of knowledge. Either a lack of knowledge in the first place or a lack of implementing the knowledge properly. And we know that both aspects are considered jahl. Both aspects are considered jahl, a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge. So those people who will enter paradise after being taken to account and punished in the hellfire. And the reason why this occurred for them, although they made it, is a deficiency in their knowledge and the application of their knowledge. A deficiency in their knowledge and application of their knowledge. So although they finally made it, the path was long and not short. The path was long and not short, and they went through many hardships and difficulties before they got there. Before they got there. We understand the point? So the fast way, the closest way to reach the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal is by way of knowledge, by way of true knowledge. And we have seen in our previous classes that fundamental principle that this word knowledge is only used properly and understood correctly whenever it's coupled with action. This is true knowledge. This is true knowledge. Knowledge that produces the fruit of khashya and fear of Allah, which will cause the body parts to submit and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in compliance. In compliance and in submission. In compliance and in submission. So he says, فَمَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقَهُ وَلَمْ يُعَرِّجْ عَنْهُ وَصَلَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَلَى الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ أَقْرَبِ طُرُقِ وَأَسْهَرِهَا فَسُهِلَتْ عَلَيْهِ طُرُقُ الْمُسِيرَةُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ كُلُّهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. So the one who sets out on a path to seek knowledge, and he does not go left or right, he does not deviate away, and he remains sincere and truthful the whole while, and he applies what it requires and necessitates until he dies, then he will arrive to Allah in his paradise. From the fastest and closest pathways, and the most easiest, from the nearest and most easiest of pathways, and he will enter paradise with those who enter in the beginning with no punishment and no reckoning. And in this manner, the ways that lead to paradise would have been all facilitated and made easy for him in this life and the hereafter. فلا طريق إلى معرفة الله وللوصول إلى رضوانه والفوز بقربه ومجاورته في الآخرة إلا بالعلم النافع الذي بعث الله به رسله وأنزل به كتبه فهو الدليل عليه وبه يهتدى في ظلمات الجهل والشبه والشكوك. He says, so there is no way to have knowledge of Allah and to reach His pleasure and to have success, to be near Him and in his company in the hereafter, except by way of beneficial knowledge that Allah has revealed and sent his messengers with, alayhi musallatu wassalam, and he has revealed his books with, that he's revealed in his books, and therefore this knowledge, it is the pathway and the guide that leads to Allah Azza wa Jal. This knowledge is the pathway and the guide that leads to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why Allah, He sent prophets and messengers, and He revealed revelation with beneficial knowledge to be a guide to lead the people to Him and to His pleasure. To lead the people to Him and to His pleasure. And this is the straight path. The straight path is knowledge and action. The straight path, al-ilmu wal-amal. The straight path, al-ilmu wal-amal. The straight path. The path of al-mun'am alayhim. And from the attributes of those on that path is that they combine between al-ilm wal-amal, knowledge and application. Knowledge and application. So this is the means of success. May Allah grant us success. He says, and by way of knowledge, one can be guided in the darkness of ignorance and misconceptions, innovations, and doubts. Misconceptions and innovations and doubts. وَلِهَذَا سَمَى اللَّهُ كِتَابَهُ نُورًا. And it's for this reason Allah has called His book light. It's for this reason Allah has called His book and named His book light. And Allah has referred to His Quran in a number of verses that it is nur. That is nur, it's light. It is light. The Quran is light. Allahu Akbar. He says, لِأَنَّهُ يُهْتَدَى بِهِ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. Because by way of the Quran, one can be guided in the darknesses. Again, the darknesses that we see in this life. The darknesses of ignorance and misguidance, the darknesses of deviation and whims and misunderstandings and innovation, the darkness of doubts and the darkness of lusts that are impermissible. All of these are different types of darkness, the darkness of disbelief and hypocrisy, the darkness of corruption and sin and transgression and disobedience, the darkness of, of innovation. What do you have, Bila? These are all different types of darknesses that we're faced with in this life. The way to remove that darkness and to see clearly is by way of knowledge. Is by way of knowledge, with the light of knowledge that Allah revealed to His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, قال الله تعالى قد جاءكم من الله نور وكتاب مبين يهدي به الله من اتبع رضوانه سبل السلام ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور بإذنه ويهديهم إلى صراط مستقيم. He mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla that indeed a light and clear book has come to you from Allah. And Allah guides by way of that book those who follow His pleasure, the pathways of As-Salam, the pathways of As-Salam, yani the pathways of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that He makes easy for the people, and He brings them out of the darkness and into the light by His permission, and He guides them by way of that light to the straight path, to the straight path. He said, وَمَثَّلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ حَمَلَةِ الْعِلْمِ أَلَذِي جَاءَ بِهِ بِالنُّجُومِ التي يهتدى بها في الظلمات ففي المسند عن أنس رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال إن مثل العلماء في الأرض كمثل النجوم في السماء يهتدى بها في ظلمات البر والبحر فإذا انطمست النجوم أوشك أن تضل الهدات. And he mentioned that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has made a parable of the carriers of knowledge. He has made a parable of the carriers of knowledge the Prophet has come with, like the stars, the people are guided by way of them in the darkness. And he mentioned that it's in the Musnad from the Hadith of Anas, radiyallahu anhu. And this narration actually has some weakness in it, and the chain is weak. But the meaning is correct, and it's a parable, an example, no doubt, and that parable is correct. But Allah knows best, the ascription to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not established. In any case, he says that Anas radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that indeed the parable of the scholars in the earth are like that of the stars in the sky. They are a means of guidance in the darkness of the land and the sea. And whenever the lights of the stars go out, then soon the people on the pathway are going to go astray. Then soon the people guided on the pathway, they will go astray. So no doubt this is a true example, that the example of the people of knowledge and this life are like the stars in the sky. Because it is known that for many generations until this day, people use the stars as a means of navigation. As a means of navigation. Even the GPS that we have today is based on the navigation by way of the stars. Is based on the navigation by way of the stars. The people before, whenever they would travel in the land or in the sea, they would navigate by way of the stars. And they would learn the movement of the stars in order to determine which way is north. And from here they know the other directions and the likes like this. And they would use them as guidance. So if the night became cloudy, they could become lost very easy. Or if someone he did not know how to read the sky, then he likewise would be lost. So the stars would be a means for the people to be guided. For the people to be guided in the earth. So likewise, the people of knowledge, there are means for the people to be guided. And just like whenever the lights go out, whenever the light of the stars go out, the people soon will get lost. Also, if the light of the knowledge of the people of knowledge goes out or is covered or is unclear, then likewise the people will be lost. And whenever the people are in darkness, then the people of evil and deception and trickery, they're able to work their mischief. They're able to work their mischief. A person who is able to see clearly, he can see what's in front of him. He can maybe, if his light is strong, he can see far in front of him. And this is the example of knowledge. Somebody who has lots of knowledge, his chest is full of light, he can see far down the path. He can see far down the path. He can not only just see what's in front of him, rather he can also see by the permission of Allah and experience with knowledge and experience with life, he will have firasa. He'll have firas, he'll have intuition. He'll be able to analyze events in life and determine which one is the proper movement to make at specific times by weighing up the benefits and the harms. By weighing up the benefits and the harms. So someone with knowledge, maybe he can see much further. If someone were to do this or to say that or to move here or to do that, he will be able to identify that that's not beneficial. That will bring about harm. So he will avoid it and stay away from it before it even occurs. He will be able to see the fitna coming while the people are unaware because of his light, because of his knowledge. On the contrary, the one who has little knowledge, the one who has little knowledge, he can only see that which is in front of him. So maybe he looks into the distance and he sees something that's beneficial but does not realize that if he were to advance upon that, in reality, the harm is greater than the benefit. The harm is greater than the benefit. This is what we say here in America. Everything that glitters is not gold. Everything that glitters is not gold. Sometimes the devil, he will lead you. He will lead you to something that is good and delightful or lawful and permissible in order to bring about more mischief and evil by way of that. By way of that. So sometimes there will be something that's proper or correct or something that's in itself in general beneficial. But if one to advance upon that at specific times and places, it could bring about more harm and problems for that person and for others. So it's by way of knowledge and light that a person, he will be able to see these affairs. It's by way of knowledge and light that a person, he will be able to see these affairs, weighing up the masalih and the mafasid. Weighing up the masalih and the mafasid. This is something that is of utmost importance, to have light. Likewise, other people, if their light, whenever one he has great light, light is also a means for a person's chest to become at ease. And he's able to deal with life in a much more easy and beneficial manner. And although there are things maybe sometimes that may seem strange to some people, the one with knowledge, he will understand why it's happening. And he will be able to excuse or pardon the people, or he'll realize at bare minimum where they're coming from. Sometimes a person, maybe he sees someone praying in a particular way that he's not aware of. Maybe someone, the only light he has with regards to knowledge is that he read the book of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, which is beneficial and good. But that's not the end of the science of salah, and that's not the end of the description of the salah, and that's not even completely all mutafiqun alayhi by all of the scholars, every aspect of that description. Although it's a very good and beneficial place to begin and to start. So someone may read that and think that that's the limit or the end of knowledge with regards to the salah, and everybody who opposes him with regards to that book, he finds that they're upon misguidance or innovation and the likes like this. It's because he has little light and little knowledge, and therefore his chest is tight, and he cannot stand to see somebody praying contrary to the way that he read in that book. When in reality, the issue of salah and the issue of the description of salah, no doubt it has been clarified, but there are many details with regards to that and differences of opinions and evidences that should be checked and verified. And there are some issues that are accepted, and there are other issues that no doubt are rejected. But a person, if he does not know these details and these issues, then he will make a stink out. He will find fault and think bad about everyone who opposed him. Our Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab Aqil, Hafidhullahu ta'ala, from our mashayikh in Medina, he made an example of this same book and this same issue, like the example of somebody who was blind. He was blind for his whole life, and then just briefly he regained eyesight. Whenever he regained his eyesight, the only thing he saw was a chicken. And then after that, he lost his eyesight again. So therefore, from that point on, every time there was a new issue that occurred, he says, what does it look like? Is it bigger than a chicken, smaller than a chicken? His everything that he knows, everything that they talk about, oh, this is an elephant, this is a donkey, this is a car, this is a house. He's saying, okay, well, does it look like a chicken? The only thing he ever seen in his life was a chicken, was the dajjah. So now he's comparing everything to the dajjah. Everything is like this. This is the example of the beginner student of knowledge who has little light. Everything he thinks is like this, it's this one way. And that's not necessarily the issue, especially with regards to jurisprudence and the manners of worship and the likes like this and other issues with regards to the actions and the deeds of al-Islam. So the one who maybe reads that one book and then he thinks that this is something that all the scholars agree upon and every Muslim who opposes that way has fallen into innovation. Like the one who never seen anything except for a chicken in his life. This is not correct. This is because of having little light. So maybe he will see a person praying in a manner, but and maybe he doesn't raise his hands, for example. And in the book, it says you should raise your hand. And in reality, no doubt about that. It's established from the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet, he raised his hand in four places in the salah. Who knows them? That is established in the Sunnah, right? That's established, three of them in Bukhari and Muslim, and one of them in Muslim. So this is the most authentic methodology of raising the hands. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that these are the places that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did it the most. And this is what one should follow in the absolute manner. Four places. What are they? Huh? Whenever you begin, takbiratul ihram. Whenever you make ruku', going into ruku', raising from the ruku'. Huh? Standing up from the tashahud al-awwal. Standing up from the tashahud al-awwal. These are the places. Whenever you begin the prayer, you raise your hands. Whenever you move into the ruku', you raise your hands. When you raise from the ruku', you raise your hands. When you stand up from the first tashahud, when you stand up, you raise your hands. So now we see somebody who's not raising their hands. So maybe somebody without detailed knowledge of these issues in fiqh, maybe he will find fault with him. Or maybe he will talk bad about him. Or maybe he even thinks that he's misguided. Or maybe some of them will go so far to say his prayer is not accepted. Or whoever knows, according to the deficiency of his light and the extent of his darkness that he has in his chest. Any ignorance. Ignorance. Whenever ignorance is combined with a bad intention, likewise, this is even more dangerous. Wa'iyadhu billah. So there are people of knowledge. This is from the madhab of Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. He did not find to raise the hands. So many of them, they are simply blind following the madhab of Abu Hanifa. So at bare minimum, we see that we could just have pity on them and say, oh, he's an ignorant brother. He's blind following the madhab of Abu Hanifa. Or even better than that, we could say that Sufyan al-Thawri, who is that? Rahimahullah. Abu Abdullah, Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith. Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri. From the best of the scholars of Hadith. He died in the year 161. From the best of the scholars of Hadith. Rahimahullah wa ta'ala. He did not raise his hands in the prayer. And Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he talked to him about that. And they had a brief dispute about that affair. But he reprimanded and asked him about that. But that was his position. So he is from the best of the scholars of Hadith, and based upon some narrations that reached him, or based upon the fact that other narrations did not reach him, he did not find that to be from the Sunnah. So he did not follow that. The point of saying all of this is that now we will be able to deal with these affairs and realize that maybe other people who are not raising their hands, they have an excuse. They're not necessarily misguided or following innovation. So it will not carry a person to go to extremes. No doubt he would teach him, and no doubt he would clarify these narrations of Ibn Umar, which are authentic, and he would encourage him to raise his hand and to seek the reward from Allah. But at least he'll be able to deal with this and have ease in his chest because of light. Also, it's by way of knowledge. Knowledge will be a light for a person. He'll be able to identify the actions and deeds that take preference in certain times, in certain situations. Maybe there are actions and deeds that are highly virtuous and very beneficial and pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. But at certain times, there are actions that take precedence and are obligatory and should be established at that time, and no other deed and no other action. For example, right now, we know that it is legislated to pray 2 rak'ah between every adhan and iqamah. It's legislated, huh? Baina kulli adhanain salah. Between every two adhan, there is salah. So how come nobody's standing up? It's a sunnah. Huh? Naam. Because seeking knowledge is more beneficial and takes precedence. So if someone were to stand up now thinking that he's going to pray those two sunan and not listen to the class and benefit from the lesson, then he has preferred that which is lesser. He has preferred that which is lesser over that which is more virtuous and better. We have seen a narration similar to this from Abdullah ibn Aun, al-Misri, with Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala. He was sitting in front of Imam Malik, one of the students of Imam Malik, if I remember correctly. It's Abdullah ibn Aun al-Misri, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he is sitting, he died in 197. He's sitting, writing the narrations of Imam Malik. And at the time of the adhan, he stood up. He started grabbing his stuff to leave. And he said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to pray the sunnah." He said, "What you're involved in now is more better and virtuous what you're getting up and going to leave. What you're getting up and going to leave." So no doubt there are certain deeds that we can combine between them. To do both of them is better when it's possible to combine between the both of them. But sometimes it's not possible. So a person, he will not get up and go pray the sunnah whenever there's a class established. Whenever there's a class established. And the lights like this. For this reason, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he said, "Laysa faqihu man arafa al-khayra min ash-shar. The true faqih, the true person of jurisprudence, fiqh and understanding in the religion, is not the one who knows the difference between good and evil. Rather, al-faqihu man arafa al-khayra min al-khayrain wa sharra min ash-sharrain. The true faqih, the true person of understanding in the religion, he's the one who knows the best of the two goods and the worst of the two evils. The best of the two goods and the worst of the two evils. So there are situations in life that no doubt there are good deeds to perform. There are good deeds to perform, but sometimes there are deeds that are better and more virtuous. And from the tricks of the devil is to preoccupy us with that which is less virtuous from that which is most virtuous. For this reason, Ibn Hajar, he mentioned that great statement about the Safir, "Man shagalahu al-fardu an al-nafli fahuwa ma'adhur. وَمَنْ شَغَلَهُ النَّفْلُ عَنِ الْفَرْضِ فَهُوَ مَغْرُورٌ فَهُوَ مَغْرُورٌ." The one who the obligation preoccupied him from a non-obligatory action, then he is excused. But the one who the non-obligatory action preoccupied him from performing the obligation, then he has been deceived. Meaning the devil played with him and tricked him, and because of his lack of knowledge, he fell into this affair. He fell into this affair. We all know the hadith of, is it Juraij? One who's praying? The hadith of Juraij, huh? Radiallahu anhu, he's praying and his mom calls him. So he's praying the non-obligatory prayer and his mom calls him and he did not come. Huh? The example to summarize is what? Which one is more beloved to Allah? Which one is a greater obligation? Which one takes precedence in right? Praying is not good? Yes, it's very good. Praying is pleasing to Allah? Yes, it's pleasing to Allah. Well, greater than that, and a more established right, and more important than that is to respond to the call of the parents. It is knowledge, it is light that will be able to clarify this for a person. They'll be able to clarify this for a person. So the people of knowledge, they're the carriers of light. The people of knowledge, they're carriers of light. The author, he's going to go ahead, Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, mentioned some points about this, that so long as the knowledge remains in the earth, then the people, they will be upon guidance. And that knowledge remains by way of the people of knowledge remaining. So whenever they're gone, then in this manner, the knowledge is lifted. So this is an important point, clarifying for us the virtue of the people of knowledge and the importance of knowing who they are. To have no doubts about that, to have no ambiguities about that, to not be deceived or misled with regards to that. We read this portion, inshallah, and there are other benefits he mentioned as well. In our class tomorrow, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, and then we'll return back to reading the text. And there are still some more benefits, Ibn Rajab, he mentioned, that are very important with regards to the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Yesterday, someone had made a promise with us they would recite the narration. Maybe they thought I forgot. I don't remember where they was. That? Is he here? you got it? Tafadhal. Fihi ilma. Fihi ilma. Sahalallahu. Lahu. Bihi. أحسنت اللهم بارك اللهم بارك من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. You got it now? Huh? Not yet? صديق. أحسنت اللهم بارك اللهم بارك. Allahumma barik in the back. I'm looking at you. No, tomorrow, inshallah. Inshallah. Who else has it? Muhammad in the back. Can't hide. Yeah. Had. Tomorrow, inshallah. Safwan. Ahsanta, ahsanta. Allahumma barik. Allahumma barik. Ahmed. سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. أحسنت أخي أحمد ما شاء الله دياره. When you get put on the spot, it's hard. Remind me now, one time we were in Kuwait and we were studying Tajweed, and the Sheikh, who was Sheikh Zaki, he was very kind and nice, but he was about to recite and teach us, he pulled out the miswak. And he used the miswak. And then he looked at us and he said, "Where are y'all's miswak at?" So it was like, I got mine. Like, he put us on the spot, like right there. But alhamdulillah, everybody had the miswak. And he was like, kind of like, he didn't mean to, you know. But in the end, for us, we're like, oh man, where's the miswak? Yani? Alhamdulillah. It's hard whenever you're not prepared. Just hopefully that Allah, he's going to set you straight. Yani, that you're already good. Alhamdulillah. Hayya. Man salaka tariqan. Yaltamisu fihi. Lahu. Lahu bihi. I knew you had it. Allahu Akbar. Muhammad. Hey. Sahalallahu lahu bihi. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. So far we have taken three narrations from the text. Who can recite all of them? What's the first narration? The narration of? Muawiyah, it's mutafiqun alayhi. The second narration, the narration of Anas, it is in Ibn Majah. And the third narration, the narration of Abi Hurairah, it's in Sahih Muslim. In Sahih Muslim. Who can mention for us the hadith of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu? I know you got that one. Man yurid lahu bihi khayra? نعم the second one. خلاص تمام إن شاء الله. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أحسنت يا ولدي. You did very good.